Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray? God, we pray that the lyrics of that hymn may truly express the conviction of our heart, that truly we may understand that while there are those material things that make life in our homes more pleasant, that they are not the true values, but rather that home that is united with you through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, that's what really brings us happiness. God, we pray that somehow you'll break through our hearts, and if necessary, even through our minds, to remind us that there is no lasting happiness outside of Jesus Christ. We verbalize that often, but Lord, we pray that it may be a living conviction in our souls. This is our prayer, as we pray that you'll feed us with your word. Amen. Friends in Christ, do you know how the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America defines the Bible? Let me tell you, if you don't. Most church members don't read the confessional writings of the Lutheran Church on a regular basis. The Lutheran Church says, the Bible is the inspired word of God and the authority in all matters of faith and life. I really love that definition. I love it because it is simple and it is to the point. Notice it says the authority, not an authority, not one among many. You take your pick. No, it's the authority. Now, people, you may think, well, why do you labor that point? On the basis of that definition, the Church of Jesus Christ stands or falls. And we, as a Christian people of all denominations, are wavering. Should it be an authority? You see, the reason for that question is we live in a very academic, so-called intelligent age, educated. And every day we're hearing from a Christian. You understand that well. And on that particular subject, the church cannot waver, not one iota. Now, it is rather easy to pen a statement. I'm sure that they spent a long time writing out those few words defining the Bible. And they did a marvelous job. But it's another thing to take those words and let them become a reality in our lives. That God's word is the authority, not an authority. It is the authority. In all matters of faith and life, it is not the authority in science. I don't turn here to find out exactly how God created the world. No, in faith and in life, Those two things only, what I believe, spiritually speaking, and how I live, that's found in the Word of God. The pulpit then, or the lectern in the Sunday school room, that is simply a means whereby the Word of God is expounded. The one thing that these church council people must watch very carefully is not only the financial statement of this church, that could go to pot, and we would still exist, but they have to listen very, very carefully to what is being expounded in this pulpit. I am accountable to you. And if I am preaching something that is not found in this Word of God, you better get to me. Or if I am not preaching something that is found in this Word, you ought to talk to me also. The church is at stake here. This is the authority. And the Holy Spirit takes that Word and applies it to our lives so that it becomes the truth with which we live. Since this is Mother's Day, I'd like to take three teachings from the Word of God that pertain to the home. And while we salute our mothers today and thank God for them and realize what a tremendous job so many of you have done, we also address fathers. Because we're not in this just as a mother. We're in it as mothers and fathers. In fact, maybe we ought to say the whole home, because the longer that I listen to my children and now to my grandchildren, the more I realize that they are my teachers too. But that home has got to be very strong. And it is strong in the sense that the Word of God is expounded and opened and studied there. There's no question, LA and Memphis and Cedar Falls or wherever it may be, is a moral mess. And therefore, it is important that we have a source of authority to which you and I can return and say that if the world has lost its head, we haven't, because we have the Word of God. The first thought that I'd like to give with you from the Word of God is that the home, your home and mine, is a classroom for the basics of life. And the parents are the teachers. Listen. Listen, my sons and daughters, to the father's instruction and your mother's teachings. Proverbs 1:8, written by old Solomon. Now, what picture is he drawing here? He's saying, in the home, there is teaching that goes on. And the fathers and the mothers are the teachers. And he is saying to the sons and the daughters, listen, listen to what your parents are teaching you. What are we teaching in the home? Two things I would suggest this morning. The one is the law of God. The Ten Commandments, that needs to be taught in the home. Thou shalt not. There are absolutes. God's Word has spoken. No psychologist, sociologist, or anybody else in the life of a Christian is going to undermine this. God has spoken. This you shall do, this you shall not do. And there is no changing it whatever. The Ten Commandments do not budge. You think that's important? Let me illustrate it. And I really did. I tried to find some other illustration that would really ring your bell. And I keep coming back to this one, and it is so repetition. But let me try to ring your bell again. Because I want you to know what I'm talking about on the basis of the Word of God. And that is sexual activity in our society. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that there is only one place for sexual activity. Not two, only one. And that is the marriage state. All sexual activity, outside of marriage is lust and not love. All sexual activity outside of marriage is contrary to the will of God, and it is sin. How in the world can you talk about safe sex? Well, you know how we talk about safe sex. Somebody down the way said, that's not realistic, preacher. You can stand there and preach it as long as you want to, but that's not the way we're going to live. And so because we're not going to live that way, we better tell them about all of these means whereby they have safe sex. Now we are in the church tempted. Well, maybe we better be realistic and say that the Bible is an authority, huh? And whoever brought forth this crazy idea that you could go out and have sexual relationships outside of the marriage is probably the authority. No, sir, the Christian says. In my home, on the basis of the Word of God, I will teach that only in the married state, only there, is there permission to have a sexual relationship. That's not popular today. I'm sure that of the people that I have preached to now in the two services, there is somebody saying, he's nuts. He's nuts. We won't sell too many tapes today. That's okay. That's all right. That's what the classroom is about. That's what it is. And I just want to say to you, and I say it not in anger, I say it in love. I'm completely relaxed. If you're having a sexual experience outside of marriage, you're outside of God's law, friend. What else does the home teach? It teaches the gospel. It teaches, can't you just see the joy of a father and a mother saying to their children, you know, God loves you. Mary, Bob, you are such great kids. God loves you so much. You know how much he loves you? He sent his son into this world, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he paid for your sin. And Bob and Mary, as you go out into this world and you see all of the temptation that is there, if you fall, God will be there to pick you up. He forgives you. And you remember how we got all ready to go to church on Sunday morning and we went down there with our new clothes on. It was Easter and we heard about the resurrection. Hey, that wasn't just a celebration for that day. You know what? That Jesus who they put in the tomb came forth and he lives. You bet he lives. He's sitting right there at the breakfast table in the morning when we're eating our Wheaties. He lives. He's with you when you go on a junior senior prom. He's right there. He lives. He'll be with you on graduation night when there are all kinds of temptations. He lives. He lives when you go to work. He lives in every aspect of your life. He lives. He lives. Ozzie Hoffman, emphasizing that last week, said, live as if he lives. Put a smile on your face. You don't have a dead God. You have a living Lord. There's no problem so great that it can ever overcome us. He lives. Your kids hearing that in the home? When you kiss them goodbye and send them off in the morning, do you say to them, remember, Jesus goes with you. He lives. Oh, I don't do that. Why would I do that? Because a home is a classroom. That's why they have to hear it. Secondly, on the basis of the Word of God, that is the authority now, the home is a refuge. Listen to what Isaiah says. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah's trying to draw a picture. And he wants them to know that God is going to comfort them. How will he comfort them? Like a mother comforts a child. You know, when I was raising my kids, And now I'm watching my grandchildren, and nature hasn't changed in one generation, at least in the Larson family. I was okay when everything was going fine. But when it got rugged, who they run to? They ran to their mother. I watched that with our grandchildren. They go to their mom. I don't know about you dads, but I used to sit there sometimes. I got envious. Why will that kid not come and cuddle up in my lap? After all, I love her or him too. That's where they always went. Sure. Natural. Most cases, the mother bore them. But in all cases, she raised them. And I want to salute you, mothers, today. You raised them. It was to you that they could go. Okay, God says, I want to comfort you. You know where he wants to do the comforting? In the home. In the home. How does that work? You really blew it today, huh? You really did something that was terrible. You know it? You come home. Do your dad tell it? You bet. You can just pour it all out, whether you're a little child or an adult. Oh, I acted like an idiot today. You know what the comfort is? On the basis of your repentance and your faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Hallelujah, you are forgiven. Let's not go through dinner with that guilt. You are forgiven. That's comfort. That is comfort. When your life is all out of direction and you don't know which way you go, you've misinterpreted somebody, or you made some decision that was awful, and you say it, where can you go? I can go home and I can unload. The human being is so built. I was told by a therapist this week that he will seek or she will seek comfort somewhere. If you and I do not find the comfort in our home, we will seek it elsewhere. Where is a place many are comforted? In a bar. I was at a lovely, lovely wedding reception last night at one of our hotels. We had a marvelous time. Joy to be there. As I was going home and we had to come down to the first floor and walk out to our car, I passed the bar. There was some of that god-awful music that was going on in there. I couldn't have stayed there 5 minutes, you know. It would have been no comfort to me. Just awful. It shook the place. But I just took a quick peek in there, seeing if I had any illustrations for this morning. I tell you, they were sitting there. I don't know who they are. I didn't recognize anybody there, but they were getting an ear. They were getting an ear. You know what they want? They want a quick fix. Quick fix. Can they get it there? If you can't get comfort at home on the basis of the Word of God, you go finding it. You find it. Bar, wherever else it might be. That's a home, according to the Word of God, a place of refuge. Thirdly, the home is a place where personalities are shaped, lives are shaped, for the good and for the bad. Let me read you two passages. 1 Kings 21:25. There was no one else who had devoted himself so completely to doing wrong in the Lord's sight as Ahab, all at the urging of his wife Jezebel. And if you know Old Testament history at all, you know that two of the weakest persons that the Lord ever knew were Ahab and Jezebel. They were awful. Then Ahaz, son of Ahab, and Jezebel became king of Israel when Ahab died. Ahaziah, the son, sinned against the Lord following the wicked example of his father Ahab and his mother Jezebel. He worshiped and served Baal, and like his father before him, he aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel. Ahaziah was just like Ahab and Jezebel, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, whatever the combination may be. Ahaziah was a product of his home. What he saw in his home molded his personality and his character. What the child sees in the parent is often reflected later on in life. That home is dreadfully important. Friend, this is tough to say, but I have to say it. Some of the things that children are seeing in their homes today are going to destroy them. There's no way to rationalize it. I know what some of the other disciplines have said, but that's not what the Word of God says, and that's our authority. If you have a live-in, be it the male or the female, and night after night your children see you going to bed with someone who is not the husband or the wife, you are really teaching them how to live immorally. No way out of it. You can send them to confirmation class. We'll teach them, thou shalt not commit adultery. But when mom and dad are living that way, forget it. Action speaks louder than words. And dads and moms speak louder than a gray-haired old preacher. That's happening. That's where we are. But the Bible is the authority. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says, that you've got to have outlets and all the rest. The Bible says no. No. Take it away from that. If you've lived together for 45 years, and every time your child comes home, or your grandchild, and they experience in that home a hate, and they know that there's somebody in this world that you hate and you will not forgive them, you're giving them a good education in hate. And if one day they hate you, you taught them. Is that too hard? Negativism, criticism, all the way from the President of the United States right on down through to the last person. That's the kind of a home you have. Look for a negative personality in your son or your daughter. Where did they get it? In many cases, from home. If you've got all kinds of idols, and for you the primary reason of living is narcissism, that you can have all the good times and pleasures yourself, and that I can go here and I can go there and I can have everything just the way it is, just the way I like it. If money becomes your God, your children are watching. That's the way they'll live. Perhaps. Personality being molded, formed. Your home is important. But let me give you one more in closing. This is a good one. That's the word that Pastor Erickson read for us this morning, where St. Paul takes a look at a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And what does he say? Hey, Timothy, oh boy, I love you. You've got a real faith in Jesus Christ. You know where you got it? I admire that faith that first was in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now it's in you. I was not the one who delivered the faith to you. It was your old grandma and mom who got together with you. Your dad was an old Greek pagan. But those two told you about Jesus. And look how the Holy Spirit took their witness, Timothy. And the day you trust in Christ, and God is going to use you mightily. And they were the instruments. Like grandma and mom, like son, huh? That's your home. That's your home. And I know some of you are doing a mighty fine job with it. And I want to congratulate you. I'm thankful to God for the homes here that we've got in this congregation. What you're doing this morning with those children sitting right beside you, that's a Christian home. You're doing something. And you're going to be here next Sunday, and next Sunday, and next Sunday, and the Sunday after that. And if you go away on a vacation, and I hope you do, you find the church. Studying the Word of God in your home. Father and mother praying together with those children. Your love for one another, your sensitivity, your forgiveness to one another. That's what makes a beautiful personality. Now you say, boy, I wish they hadn't come. I really wish they hadn't come. I did a miserable job. And this was Mother's Day. Why didn't he wait until next Sunday? Let me tell you, I don't want anybody to go home feeling badly. Because I have the gospel to share with you. If you have failed miserably, if you fail miserably, just confess your sin. God's in the business of forgiving you. He'll forgive us all. It doesn't matter who we are. And get a hold of that kid who may be 25, 40, 50 years old and say, hey, I want to see you the first chance I get. I got something I want to say to you. I fail, but I want to make it all up in one visit. Huh? That's all you have to do. There's forgiveness. This is a gospel preaching church, I pray. Do that. Turn to Christ. And he'll forgive you and he'll forgive me. And God knows my children can point to my sins and say, you are forgiven. And remember this, that maybe you didn't do everything so badly. There's a lot of competition out there. There are a lot of teachers. And yours is only one voice. But take heart in this, will you? Take heart in it, people, that gospel is going to stand. And one day, when all of these teachings that were so superficial have finally ended, then they will come home to the faith of their mothers and fathers. And that's the promise of the Word of God. My word shall not, it shall not return void. It shall not. Yes, there are a lot of voices out there. But remember, the Christian says that the Bible is the authority in all matters of faith and life. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.